While you're yet standing, if you would turn with us to the book of St. Mark, chapter 8. It is a text that claims our attention this morning for this sanctuary service. Very familiar passage of scripture. Praying we might hear it again for the first time. Matthew 8. Matthew. Everybody heard Mark? I heard in my ear Matthew. It's in Mark too. It is in Mark too. I did Mark on last Sunday in the workshop. Matthew. I'm so sorry. Matthew chapter 8. Uh-huh. You can turn back a little bit.
We got you.
Thank you, sir. We're going to begin our reading at verse number 23. Mm-hmm. The word of the Lord reads on this wise. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Yes. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Mm-hmm. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Mm-hmm. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?
Yes,
amen. You may be seated. And when he was entered into a ship, the disciples followed him. I want to do this fourth installment on getting ready to go out in the form of a question, which way are you going?
My Lord, which way?
Who are you following? Will you go? I was preparing and Mahalia Jackson came in my spirit and I kept hearing her saying, standing here wondering which way to go. So much confusion in the world below. That thing just jumped on me as we're looking at direction here and fellowship in this idea of us getting ready to go out. Some people want to go and do their own thing.
Right.
But even in when we go, there are some ways that we are to follow. There is a great contrast and great contradiction in the disciples that were produced by Jesus and the ones that we produce today. The disciples that Jesus produced understood that their success or faithfulness of being the fishers of men that he called them to be was contingent upon how faithful a follower they had or would be. You know, they knew although Jesus had handpicked them to be apostles, they could not be a better apostle than they could be a disciple. They knew that in order for them to be what God called them to be, they had to follow Jesus. Many of us have trouble with getting congregations to follow him. You know, that word follow, it's derived from a Greek word, akoulatheo. It means to go the same way. The disciples understood that if we're going to be what he called us to be, that we've got to go the same way he's going. We can't go in the opposite direction that he's going.
That's right.
We got to go in the same direction. And maybe the reason that most of us struggle with persuading our people to follow him is because our people do not have a clear understanding of what a disciple is. I had a conversation yesterday with Dr. Williams and help us understand that we need to have conversations. We need to have meetings so that you understand what this position and what that position means when you take on that title.
That's
what the choir members understand their role to be, the ushers at the door. Anybody in the house of God, you've got to understand where it is that you are supposed to be going.
Right.
Yes. But that word, disciple, it's derived from a Greek word that I can't pronounce. I'm not even going to try it. It means a learner or a pupil. But it also means one who follows their master's teaching so closely that they make it their life. Yeah. In other words, when we obey the command of Christ to follow him, then he takes away our choices and he makes our decisions. Y'all gonna be mad at me all day. The problem with modern day disciples is that they feel that they have a choice. They feel that they have a choice when it comes to Bible study, when it comes to Sunday school and corporate worship. But may I tell you that the reason why many of our churches are failing to be the disciples that he's called us to be is because we have forgotten that Jesus now makes our decisions.
Right.
He makes our choices. When you look back just a few verses, you will see that these were some people that wanted to follow Jesus that had some mentality, the same mentality as some of these modern day disciples. It's there in verse 19. It says, "And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest."
Yeah.
That sounds good and all, don't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But this man had a hidden agenda, y'all.
Well,
Jesus says there in verse number 20, the foxes have holes,
yeah,
and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Yeah, he had agreed to follow Jesus based on what he could get from Jesus instead of what Jesus could get from him.
Mm-hmm.
There are some folks always going to church on Sunday morning expecting to get something.
Jesus.
Come on, Pastor, I need a word. Come on, you better say something. I really need something from the Lord. But when was the last time we were able to produce some disciples that came not to get something, but came to give him something?
My Lord.
Stay in the text. In text, there's another kind of modern day disciple, because another fellow comes out of the crowd and says, "Lord, me first." That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Me first. Look at verse 21. Another of the disciples said unto him, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father."
Uh-huh.
Me first. There's some stuff I need to do. It's about me. I'm going to go with you, but let me do what I need to do first. You know, in Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself."
Yeah.
But what I understand about these two supposed disciples, you will read nowhere in the Bible where they got on the boat with Jesus. No, the book says that when Jesus got on the boat, that his disciples followed him.
Yes.
Those two were not on the boat. It was when he got on the boat that he realized it was those same fellows that he had said in Matthew chapter 4, "Follow me," were the same ones that were on the boat with him. And whatever it takes to begin discipleship is what it takes to continue in discipleship. The same thing that Jesus said to them in Matthew chapter 4 is the same thing that Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 8. Follow me, follow me, follow me. He says, follow me. He's on the boat with his disciples. There, verse number 24, he said, behold, all of a sudden, something happened. Yeah, a great tempest arose, the text says, on the sea. Now, you understand, this is not for those two. The one said, not for me, and not the one who claimed he was going to go all the way. But this is for those who never opened their mouths, but they showed their obedience by their conduct. You know, you can't talk about you obeying something and you do something else. They showed their obedience by their conduct. They were the ones who were able to experience this storm. That's how it is, Sister Rebecca, that when you make up in your mind, Jesus, I'm ready, then all of a sudden you have an experience that you cannot control. Here it is on the Sea of Galilee that this storm is now raging on the sea. Wind is blowing, interacting with the waves of the sea. And here it is, my first point, there is a sudden shift in the sea. The Bible says there was a great tempest. Uh-huh. Great, that word great, you know, we get our word mega from this word that we get great. It means that it was a great big problem. It was a big problem. It says it's a tempest from the Greek word seismos. And seismos carries the idea of the earth quaking. Uh-huh. Yeah, now the earth is quaking and the wind is blowing above, and trapped and sandwiched in the middle is Jesus and those boys that followed him. May I suggest to you, or let me just remind somebody, my brothers and sisters, that whenever you follow Jesus, it will not eliminate trouble from your life.
That's right.
Whew, God help us today. But sometimes some folk in here that want to be real, you can be real, that you can stand up and say, it was when I followed him is when I went through my worst storm. That when you want to do right, that's when you go through your worst storm. They follow him, and there is a sudden shift in the sea, and the earth is quaking. So there is some shaking. The text says that the water is no longer under the boat, but it's in the boat.
Yeah.
Not only they are shaking, but they are sinking. Oh, Jesus, they are shaking, and the boat is sinking, and Jesus is sleeping. God Almighty, what are you saying, preacher? You mean to tell me that the folk who follow Jesus, they're experiencing some shaking and some sinking, and Jesus is sleeping? That's what it is. That all this time, Jesus is still asleep. Can I be truthful today? The reality is, if you haven't, I know you ain't gonna like me, if you haven't experienced any shaking, you haven't experienced any sinking, there's a possibility you may not be following him.
That's right.
God. I know everything going well for you. I know you're cheering, all doing good. I know you're going great on your job. I know everything is happening for you. It's all hunky-dory. I know all things are going well, but there are some folk in here that will tell you that since I follow Jesus, since I've been following him, I've experienced some shaking and some sinking. And Jesus, y'all, sleeping. Not only do I see the sudden shift in the sea, but if you look closely in text, you can identify the plea of the perturbed pupils. Look at the text, y'all. They're messed up now. Mm-hmm. But watch their reaction. The Bible says that when Jesus was asleep, they came to Jesus, woke him up, and said, Lord, Kyrios, one who has supreme authority, one who is the ruler, owner and controller. Adonai, the self-existing God, the sovereign Lord. Though they were sinking, they were shaking, that when things got out of hand, they still knew who he was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell you today that when stuff goes topsy-turvy, you need to know who Jesus is. We see their faith. Don't y'all see it? We see their faith. Their faith caused them to come to him. Faith caused them to confess, Lord, save us. Yeah, and in the Greek, it is in the imperative mood. Sister Williams, and most of the time when we think imperative, we wanna say that that's a command,
right?
You know, and I'm trying to say, look here, fellas, y'all trying to tell Jesus what to do? Are you trying to command Jesus? That's the wrong interpretation of the text, because Sister Williams would tell you that the imperative mood has at least four nuances, and the one that has to do with this text is that they were making a request.
You listen.
You can't make God do stuff for you.
That's right.
Yeah, you can't try. You know, we want to tell people you can put the word on God and send God to do stuff. Well, the word of God is from God. It's for God and it's for you.
Yeah.
But you better not think that you can tell God to do anything.
That's right.
Woo! It's a request. You better ask God something.
Amen.
Act like you know. They said, Lord, save us. Lord, preserve us.
Yeah.
Lord, protect us from danger. Keep us from drowning. They were doing well, y'all, until they said, we perish. Yeah, I see their faith, but I also hear their fear. Look, listen, they told the truth. They were going to drown, because the words "we perish" in the Greek, it's in the middle voice when the subject is speaking or acting upon him or herself. Because they made their confession, they left Jesus out. And whenever you leave Jesus out of your confession, you're going to drown. It's going to happen. Going to sink.
Yes,
you'll never make it, because they found out that when they said we perish, they allowed their fear to rob them of what he said, what he already said in verse number 18. In verse 18, he said, let's go to the other side. And sometimes in our spiritual walk, sometimes, prophet, in our ministry, we catch a case of spiritual amnesia and we forget what he already said to us.
Just seven
verses ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I hear what you say.
Yes,
but do you remember what he said?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's what you say that's going to cause you to drown.
Yeah.
And it's what he says that's going to cause you to be delivered.
Amen.
Yeah, I wish I would grab a hold of that today.
Amen.
He already said, we're going to the other side. Not only do I see a shift in the sea. Not only do I see the plea of the perturbed pupils, but I'm through when I tell you I see the Christ that calms chaos. That was your shout moment right there. That's your shout moment. The Christ that calms all the chaos. The Bible says that when they woke him up. Yeah, y'all. Now, all this time, we've just been hearing from folk. Now we get to hear from Jesus. Jesus now, he's got two things to deal with in here. He has to calm the storm, but he cannot calm the storm until he corrects those students. He said to them, why are you so scared? Didn't you hear what I told you? Come on, he wants to know, why are you so scared? Just seven verses ago, you didn't see me. You didn't see my power. You was with me a few verses ago. When Peter's mother-in-law had a fever.
Yeah.
You were with me when when I came down from the mountain and their leper comes and tells me he wants me to cleanse him, and I cleansed him. I was up on the mountain. Y'all was with me. And after the sermon on the mount, there was this boy saying, and no man ever talked like this. He speaks as one with authority. Why are you afraid? Ye little faith. Jesus has their attention now because they awake him, but he does not get up until they have been corrected. Y'all look at the text, y'all. He doesn't get up until he has corrected them. He stays in that same relaxed position. Mind you, the storm has not let up at all. It's still coming in the boat. But now they have their attention focused on the Savior. He's lying down teaching. Why are you so scared, oh, ye of little faith? Now it's time to calm the storm. Now that he has corrected the students, he now stands up. Read the text. He now stands up so the disciples can see him. Now, there are some theologians that believe that he stood up for the wind and the waves to see him. But I take issue with that line of thinking, because wind and waves don't have eyes.
Come on now.
They have ears.
Right.
Y'all remember it was God that stepped out onto nothing and began to talk and give a word. And so as they are watching him on the boat, he stands in the midst of his disciples and he said, peace be still. The Bible says that they began to be amazed and said, what manner of man is this?
Yeah.
That even the waves and the wind obey him.
Come on.
Sounds like they still don't know who he is.
Yeah.
Because he's not just a man. He is God.
Yeah.
And I have discovered that if you follow him, there will be times that you go through the storm and the rain. But one reason that these disciples did not sink is because they had his presence.
Amen.
Do you have his
Amen.
Presence this morning? Come back here, David. David, he said to tell the Grove, Jackson, that I was going through a dark place. I heard his presence. But listen to what David really said. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David said, not only do I have his presence, but I have his protection.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to quit right there, but I can't quit, because some theologians said that this was the only time that in the scriptures that Jesus went to sleep. The Spirit said, tell them, Jackson, remind them that it was on one Friday evening.
Yes.
He went to sleep again.
Yes.
But before he went to sleep, he lifted his voice with a cry of victory. And he said, it is finished. Notice he did not say, I am finished. But he said, it is finished. Father, what you sent me to do, I've done what you told me to do. And I heard Nicodemus and Joseph took his body. But before I quit now, let me tell you that when he went to sleep, this time, all chaos broke out again. Earth began to quake. The veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. The dead folks got out of the graves and went to walking around. The centurion soldier said, surely, I like that word, surely this must be the Son of God. Look at him, a sleeping Savior. All night Friday night, he took his rest. All day Saturday, he kept on sleeping. Slept all night Saturday night, but
early.
Come on, y'all, say early.
Early
on Sunday morning. He had to get up from his sleep.
Yeah.
Come on, listen here. Not only do I have his presence, not only do I have his protection, but when he got up, I heard him say, I got all power. I got all power.
Yeah.
And I don't know why y'all looking at me like you're looking at me, but the power that he has is available to you right now.
Right there.
The power that belongs to him, it's available to you right now. And if you don't mind, come on, look at somebody. Tell somebody you can handle the storm. When you have his presence,
when you have his
protection,
and when you have his
power. Yeah, come on, tell your neighbor, I got it. Power! I got it. Power! I got it. Power! I got it! I got it! I got it! Anybody got it? I got it! Power! Got the power. I am follower of Christ. As long as you follow him, you will be in his presence. As long as you follow him, you will have his protection. And as long as you follow him, you can rest in his power. Because his power becomes yours. Which way you going? I will follow Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.